when we are born again, the life of God is in the blood of Jesus. In that your life and your blood has become contaminated by the infiltration of Lucifer, which entered into the bloodstream of Adam and Eve. That blood or life being contaminated, it was of necessity that God had to create another blood cell. And through that blood cell came a new life, and this time it is not tampered with. It is without infiltration. And so then, in that the life is in the blood, this blood is an eternal life. So when I see the blood, then I will not let death smite you. Death shall come, as in the darkness of the intellectual night down in Egypt, and smite the firstborn. But if I see the blood, that spells eternal life, which means death hath no power over you. So when the blood is there, I'll know that you are the eternal, and I'll not touch you. You know, the Jews know God not as Jesus nor as God the way we do, but they call him the eternal. He is called the eternal. So then the eternal, we might say, well, why the eternal, Brother Pike? Why not have the reference to him as God? Well, I said this before. God is an intellectual application as to the great eternal spirit. And in that it is a man-made application as to God, which means object of worship, then that means that because of that, if you look beyond the word God or look beyond Godship, as you would say, in this world, then what are you going to title him or what are you going to call him other than what the Bible refers to him as in his originality, the great light unto which no man can approach, or the eternal. All right, sometimes we say this to you. We say in the beginning, and we read that in the beginning was God. You know, we go back as to the Old Testament, and we read as in the beginning. Remember, the Old Testament is the New Testament within the veil. And the New Testament is the Old Testament unveiled. That's why Paul spoke of the Old Testament as being allegoric, as being types and shadows of that which was to come. And that's why he said as concerning the Jews that the veil, as in his day, the veil is still over the face of the people in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil remaineth even until today. But this veil, he said, is done away with in Christ, or as in the New Testament, when you come to Calvary, thus it is the rent veil, and the veil is no longer between God and man, as to the veil of human flesh that has hid him from view. Brother Taylor sings that song that he was hid off from human's view, but now the veil is rent in two. He made it himself twain, that is to say, both Lord and Christ, even in one body too, or twain, and the veil was rent in two, or in twain, as to separate the spirit from the body, or the Lord from the Christ, or your spirit from your body. And now, Paul said, we are crucified with Christ, in that our body is now dead to sin by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, buried in the lovely name of Jesus, as to be identified with him in death, that we might also be in the resurrection with him. For Paul said, if we are buried with him in baptism, then are we resurrected with him in the newness of life. That is not you that liveth, Paul said, not me, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live with the Son of God. Even the temporal life that I have, it's gone because of sin, but now I have his life, which is eternal life. So then, as to having made an end of sin, now you are free from sin, that ye should not be servants unto sin and unto death anymore. So when you come to the New Testament, the veil is thus taken away. It has thus been rent. All right, we'll just talk on that just a minute or two tonight. Let's read just here a little bit in the first chapter of the book of Genesis. The word Genesis means beginning. And of course, we have this book because of who? Who wrote this book? How did we get this book? You don't get it from college. You don't get it from your school. They can give you all the education they want to, but when they go back as to Egypt, civilization begins in Egypt with the hieroglyphics and the Rosetta Stone and such thing. And they can't go back beyond that as to human definition. So they have to go back to the Bible. And when they go back to the Bible, they take the book of Genesis and they use it to their own conveniences just as far back as they'd like to go. And after that, they leave off with it. So then I've said so many times, why bother with the old tree of knowledge when they have to go back as to a foundation for this to even get a start? Why bother with theology when we've got facts? I don't need any theory if I've got facts. Chapter 1 in the book of Genesis, Moses that wrote this book while he was on the mount, caught up in the Spirit for 80 days. There was no record of anything like this in Moses. It was given to him and he wrote it as concerning the garden and the beginning. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's a good thing to remember. I say a lot of times in talking to different ones that when you've got a program or you're going to do something in life, the first thing to do is remember it. It is the beginning of your project or program. And in the beginning was God. And if you'll take God in the beginning to acknowledge God in all of your ways, he'll direct your path. All of his paths are peace. And they that keep their minds stayed on Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. All right, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. All right, we could go on and go on reading this as to the days. And in reading this, we would cover a lot of territory here. But I'm just going to read a little bit so that we can understand what I'm trying to say. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the sea, and let fowls multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same as it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowls of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the days ye eat thereof, when your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. But when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be thy husband, and shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. All right, that's reading quite a bit there. Sometimes I'll read a good bit of scripture because some people never read the scripture at home, and the preacher is thus indebted to give them a biblical education as to the scriptures, and he is also indebted to be able to interpret or to move the veil as to the intellectual concept of the word. Turn this word into spirit and into life, because this is no normal word as to human understanding. This is a supernatural word that is spirit and is life. Your words are not spirit and life. This word is spirit and life. And for your words to become spirit and life, you must thus replace your mind with the mind of Christ, which is the Word, even God, who is made manifest in a human body called His Son. And this, of course, is what we're trying to do, for the Bible said, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." And this, of course, is what Satan enlarged upon. He said, God doesn't want you to eat or partake of this tree, because in the day that thou eatest thereof, your eyes shall come open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And this is what Satan wanted man to do, but God did not want man's eyes to come open as to see the world of evil, because he already was beholding the world of light and the world of goodness. And in that man was not capable of performing righteousness in his body, then God did not want him to get his eyes open to evil, because this would automatically put man under a curse. It would separate him from God, and the spirit that was contrary to God, that was to be cursed, that was already the rule of the darkness that had crept in during this time of the act of God. Then this creature, our Satan, who would be a creature by means of manifesting himself through a human being, then this spirit of Lucifer, even the god of the flesh as we refer to him, or the god of this world, in that he is a god of vanities, he would have control over mankind. And as iniquity, the spirit of iniquity working within the human being, God could not fellowship his people anymore. All right, so then we see that where the problem was, that when God came forth and the earth was void and without form and darkness was upon the face of the deep, that within this darkness, that God was to give light to something that would enter into this garden as he, the ruler of darkness, and would enter into his creature and overthrow his creature and wrestle the world out of the hands of Adam, to whom it was given. And that through that, God would completely be exiled and cut off from his creation, or all of that that had emanated from God is what we see today as the world, as the stars, as the sun, as the moon, or what the Bible records here as God creating, as the ocean and the grass and the trees and whatever. That all of this that God was to enjoy as being the spirit of life and quickening within the human body, he was cut off from this by the spirit of iniquity, even Lucifer, that entered into this body in the form of a mind, thus defiling man to the extent that he had put a wall of partition between God and your inner man. In that God is a spirit and you inwardly are an angelic being as a spirit, referred to as the inner man. Thus the wall of partition, as to the middle wall of partition, as to say the flesh, thus became that at enmity with God in your carnal mind of concept of that human reasoning, as to Satan defiling or infiltrating your mind. Now, so then the body is now a middle wall of partition as to your first birth, a middle wall of partition between God the eternal spirit and your inter-spiritual man, which is cut off from life. As to the overshadowing in the garden, or the illumination in the garden, God had kept man's body alive by the illumination until man could eat of the tree of life. And then as to eating of the tree of life, he would automatically have become an eternal creature. That is to say, to eat from the tree of life, he would have become eternal. But he had to have a power of choice to be a sovereignty. So God had to thus put a tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then the tree of life. And if man was to choose from the tree of knowledge and good of good and evil, then he would become a sovereignty, just like Lucifer said, as a partial truth. See, he would become a sovereignty, but a sovereignty that would be demanded of him, since you are in individuality, or you are an individual now of your own, to think for yourself, to do for yourself, and you have separated yourself from God, and that God cannot look upon iniquity, God cannot illuminate you anymore, and now you put a middle wall between your person and God's life. Now, you must decide for yourself, you must perform for yourself, you must do everything for yourself, which man could not do. He could not do it, and with all of his intellectual learning of today, he's only the prey of Satan even the more, because the more he intellectually develops, has the college and education, the greater power that Satan has over him, from the old tree of knowledge to give him a diplomacy as to this life, to enslave him as to tribute and to rule over him as the master of this world, being the god of this world and the prince of the powers of the air. So then man has subjected himself to vanity. The creature therefore being subjected to vanity by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. Well, it would take days and days to go into that. But anyway, as to what we're saying here, we see then that the body, the dispute is over the body. And this is why Jude in his writing says that when death, as to Lucifer, came for the body of Moses, the angel of God came and said, "The Lord rebuke thee, Satan." As I said, Moses is not found in a grave. He's found in glory. They're on the mountaintop. So they've not found his grave as to the today, even though he's supposed to be buried in the valley of Moab. But he is found with Elijah in glory with Jesus. Thus, the dispute over the body, Christ won out. And as I say, Moses, having been up there for about 80 days, he'd become dead to the world. He was living by the Spirit of God. But at the same time, we see a great thing in this, and that is where the veil was put over Moses' face, where he was so illuminated with this glory that they could not look upon, saying that we're afraid to look upon God because we will die. Therefore, you speak to God and let God speak to you, and then you can speak to us. And thus a veil was put over his face because of the glory and the illumination of the knowledge of God, and that wisdom maketh the man's face to shine. They beheld Stephen's face when it shined as that of an angel because of his great, wonderful wisdom. All right, so then we see that in Adam all die because Adam fell from the garden. Woman in man is not a byproduct. She is in the original creation. But taken from man, if she does not remain as one with man, then she is a byproduct. She is on her own, and she is definitely not in the original creation, because Satan has taken her, and she has become his body. And according to the Bible, as Jesus saw one as to Judas, who allowed Satan to come in, he thus said, "Satan, I've chosen 12, and one of you is a devil. Whatever you give your body to, that's what you are." As to Jesus, he gave his body to God, thus he became God. And as it was said, "I've called ye gods, because if you give your spirit to God," he said, "then are ye gods. I've called ye gods, but from the lack of knowledge ye shall die as men." All right, that is the knowledge of God. So then we see the veil over Moses' face that could not look steadfastly to that which is abolished. So we come to the wonderful rent veil of Calvary. To do away with that is to bring on the prophet likened to Moses, where there's no veil. Or that is to say, the veil that was over Moses' face indicated the body of Jesus in as to a tabernacle in which God himself, as to his fullness, the eternal, all the spirit, dwelt. And when this body was rent, done away with as to making himself twain, both Lord and Christ, the separation of the Lord from the Christ or the body from the Spirit, has to show your body dead and buried in earth, your spirit loose and gone back to God who gave it, hid with Christ in God whom the heavens have received, to show this, to put you in this position in the presence of God, that God would never look upon your bastard child image as the image of iniquity, as saying, in iniquity did my mother conceive me, and that I am shapen in iniquity, and God smiting that at Calvary, to free you from this creature, this horrible nightmare or freakish thing that's called man, which is really a beast. His origin is traced back to the beast, or the land of Nod, or into this place where Cain went. All right, now, to free you from this horrible thing that had taken life into captivity, or this veil that had separated between you and God, that is to say, a woman between man and between God. The woman being typical of the body in that you are the flesh, the woman, the body, the feminine part. That's what the woman represented. And the man being without spot or blemish in that he was not found in the transgression, but the woman was, indicating that God, as to Adam, the son of God, as he is called, was God, and that in that he was God, and Jesus is called the second man, Adam, as to God incarnate, as we say. Now, so then we see that as to Adam, representing God without spot and not being in the transgression, he had to be subjected to the vanities, take the thorns on his head, and coming on down, as we see spiritually, the back was plowed like a field. The nails went into the hands as the second man Adam, or the return of Adam as to the second time, as to labor for the bride, or we say Adam for the wife, that she might be protected, that he might be her protection. So he was bruised for our transgression, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, by whose stripes you are healed. All of us like sheep having gone astray. Now, so we see with this, as just laying a little foundation for something I'd like to say here, that there was a middle wall of partition that was between God and the human body. This is why we see the Jews back under the law, not being able to come over Calvary, over the veil, and today the veil is still over their eyes of understanding, that they cannot comprehend the light. For this light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's to say, the intellectual reasoning called darkness could not comprehend this great height, depth, width, and length. But the Bible says that you, as with the mind of Christ, as to the mind of light, which means understanding, the eyes of your understanding being light, that you comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this great wonderful thing. In that you become God. You become God. As to bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh and members in particular, because Jesus was God and the express image of God and the only image of the great eternal spirit, God himself. Now I know we have a question a lot of times as to these things, but the thing is, it's like I said, you know, there is a teaching where there is three gods. Whereas I said the other night, and I've said this numbers of times to you, that when Jesus stretched out the heavens, he said, I did it alone. No one helped me. I did it by myself. He said, where is there another God? I know not of any. You know, when we say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, he said, where is another God? I know not of any. I am God, and I am God alone, he said. And so then God, the eternal spirit, tabernacling in his fullness in the body of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, thus personifying himself in a human form, which he had never done before this personification, he was called the great spirit because he had no personification. And there was no object of worship as to God, the object of worship. And he warned man not to worship the stars, not to worship anything in the earth. That is to say, the object of worship will come, which will be Jesus. And Jesus said to the woman at the well, lest you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins, when she said, Messiah, come in. So then we see that, as I've said so many times, you've got a mold, and then you go out and you dig the gold and silver out as to the potential. You run it through the fire, you burn out the chaff, and then you take and melt it down, you put it into the mold, and as the shape of the mold, whatever it might be, you close the mold up, you lock the mold up, and when it is firmly molded, you expose it then to the cold. That's how you got into sin, to be exposed to the cold, being cold or hot. And then when you got in the cold, you was closed into the form, and going through this cold, after you had become molded to image, Then the rent veil as to the opening of the mole, and out steps God the personified one, which is called the Holy Ghost, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All right, now, so these three are one, water, blood, and spirit in the earth, as to bear witness as to that which is in the earth, as to what would take all night long to explain. Some of you know some of it. And then, of course, now we have God. When the body, therefore, as to the mole, was taken away, done away with, God giving his own son in death that he might become our sins, chastised or abused, as we say, by the hand of men and killed by the hands of the Roman powers, then came forth the Christ, which is the Spirit. And today the only body that Jesus has in the earth is your body as to your measure of his life. In that as to, we say as to the typical thing, as to the barley harvest, they waved one cluster, as to say this is Jesus, the resurrected one, the first fruits of them that slept. And then after 40 days, then comes the, we say the 7 weeks and seven as to seven sevens into 49, and then the added day as to inclusively speaking as to bring in Pentecost. Then comes the wheat harvest as to the Gentiles, which is by measure. And so then the fullness of God, Jesus going to the throne, the Spirit coming back, and today you have by measure the Spirit as to each member, as to that body. Whoever has that Spirit of life, thus he is a member of that body, having been baptized into that body by the life, and that my life is what makes my hand part of me. Whatever the life is in, that is a part of the body that joins to the body, and that means you're baptized into that body by that Spirit, or that is to be a member of life. All right, so then we see this as to God. Thus are ye gods, plural. And as to collectively speaking, you are God's own body, Jesus Christ. And as I say, when you talk about three gods and we expect to go to heaven, we see three gods. There will never be any such thing as that. God is the eternal light, the great Spirit. The Bible said no man has seen God at any time. Paul said, he's the invisible God whom I serve with my spirit. And the Bible said, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he alone dwells in the light, having this great, wonderful understanding. And he alone dwells in the light that no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see. So don't ever expect to see him, because you won't. You will see Jesus. He is the personification of God. He is the image of God. He is the express image of God. And he is the head of the church, and you are the members of that God body. So then when you get to heaven, you cannot look for God the Father on the right side, as we would say, and God the Son on another side, or the Holy Ghost in the throne, or the Holy Ghost on one side, and the Son on one side, and the Father on the throne, or whatever. You can't look for it that way, because it won't be that way. It's like I've asked the question. See, when James and John said, we desire something of you, and that is that we should set one on the right hand and the other on the left hand. As to Zebedee's son, the sons of thunder, Jesus said, this is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared, that is of my Father. Now the thing arises is this, as I have overcome and sat down in the throne with my Father, if you overcome, then you too can sit down in the throne with my Father. Whereas there's plenty of room, because the Bible said heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. All right, so as he said to David, I fill all in all. Solomon, I fill all in all. From everlasting to everlasting, I fill eternity. Who's going to build a house for me? What do you mean build a house for me? And yet he allowed that as to the tabernacle or temple of Solomon to be a type of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You being the members in particular. All right, so then when we look at this, just teaching just a little bit now, we see that when we look at this, we realize that Jesus is going to sit on the throne. Someone is going to sit on the right side of him. Someone is going to sit on the left side of him. Now the question arises is, if there's three gods and Jesus is going to be on the right hand of the Father, how is somebody going to be on the left hand of him outside of the Father? So you see, it's childish of us, and it's without revelation, when we come into those things, like a Church of God preacher told me one time, said, I've always been mixed up all my life. A man that's been in Church of God for years, he said, I never did know who to pray for. Then there's three gods, and it says, God the Father, three persons. Whereas Webster gives the dictionary terms as a person being a human body. And said, I just always stayed mixed up and said, this revival has really done something for me. All right, so God, the eternal spirit, you cannot get to that eternal spirit except through the blood, which is the Son. And you can, that life is in that blood. That life as to God in the blood cannot get to you except from within that blood or through that blood. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, and no man can come unto me except the Spirit draw him. All right, so I said that to say this. So we see who is going to be on the right hand of God and who's going to be on the left hand of God, as to say Jesus. It is shown in glory when Jesus stood on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Moses appeared on one side and Elijah appeared on the other side. See, one representing the law, one representing the prophets, and one in the middle as to representing grace, or that is to say Moses as to representing the resurrected saints of God as supposedly to be buried, and Elijah as to the raptured or translation as to the translated saints of God. And when it was said, let us have three gods, Peter said, the Lord said, one God will be enough. Said, we want three tabernacles. Why? As Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, let us build three tabernacles. The Lord said right then and there, I'm against Trinitarian teaching. I'm against it. It's wrong. What is it? It's the God of Baal. What is the God of Baal? The Bible said they prophesied in Baal. Baal means the God of the flesh. It is something intellectually that somebody has conceived and brought forth. And he said, one tabernacle. Peter said, let us build three. Now, why did Peter do that? Because Peter was to become the first pope in the intellectual. Let's give the Lord a hand. God condemned his doctrine right there and said, I won't have it. It's a Trinitarian thing, and out of that comes forth all of these churches and whatever through Martin Luther and whatever as to the Reformation, as when he nailed his thesis there on the doors as in Germany, or put these things there as to the Council of Worms and defied the Council of Worms, coming against them and taught the just shall live by faith. So we see that there is Moses on one side, Elijah on another side, and these three as to the law and the prophets. Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets because he was the fulfillment of the law, saying every jot and tittle, it cannot pass away till all is fulfilled. And he said, Father, I've finished it. Folded it up and laid it away. And Paul said, now we are not under the law of sin and death. We cannot transgress the law. We're dead to the law, but the body of the Lord Jesus, thus it is finished. Jesus said, it is now done. Death is conquered. Everything is gone. I've finished it because I took away the bastard child image. Man is now dead to the law, and the law is now dead to mankind, in that man has fulfilled the righteousness of the law. And the law of righteousness, that is the righteousness which is the spiritual part, and that the law of spirit is fulfilled on the inside of man. Great is the mystery of godliness. Paul said, I am a steward of the mysteries of Christ. So then we pass from death unto life, because we've come from the old over to the new, from that as to the hinder part, as we express it, as Moses seeing that from Calvary back, and as to Calvary over, we're seeing now face to face, as looking as in a glass, beholding ourselves being changed from glory to glory into this glorious, wonderful image of the released glory that we are seeing coming forth from his face. All right, so then we understand that God said one tabernacle, this is my son, hear ye him. And the original is, as in John, when the baptizing come, it said, and he in whom I am pleased to dwell. I am pleased to dwell. So we see that in the original, he was pleased to dwell in his fullness or tabernacle in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was the Son of God. And the Bible says, to wit, that God, even the eternal spirit, was in Christ Jesus, even the body, reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And the Bible said, and the Father giveth not the Spirit unto him by measure. And it tells us that Jesus came in his Father's name. These have I kept in your name, Father. And he said, because you've done that, I'll give you a name that no one knows but you, and to whom you reveal it. And I say that still has to do with the bride's name. But as to a name in the earth, not the new name, but as to the name Jesus given, there is no other name given among men whereby men must be saved. And that salvation is in none other name. As to remission of sin is in Jesus' name, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. So we see then there's one tabernacle, even the body of the Lord Jesus. And God will not tabernacle in three tabernacles, only one tabernacle. And that one tabernacle is the body of Jesus Christ, members in particular, of whom ye yourself are a member of this great, wonderful body, Jesus, being the head of it, in that the church is his own body, in that a man and a woman is one and not many. But as to the mystery concerning the church, then is the woman one flesh, for she was taken out of man. And she's only whole within the man. And it's only when a spirit gets between her and her husband, if he's really her, truthfully her husband, it's only when a spirit gets in between them that makes her spirit stronger than his spirit. Because man's spirit is stronger than the woman's spirit, that she might submit to the man, conform to the man, and become one to the man, else they couldn't live together. And the woman is the members, and the man is the head. He is the head. And so then if another mind gets in the woman outside of that, then she's got a devil. If she gets strong enough that she will not submit to the man cannot control her, he automatically, no matter how feminine she acts, how lovey-dovey she acts, she has got a devil. If she doesn't have a devil, her spirit will automatically be at a place to where it will submit to the man and flow with the man. Now, and I'm saying this on the strength of knowing that if her husband don't have a devil, because remember, if you yourself consider that you are the feminine part as to God the Spirit, if God's Spirit cannot enter into you as to a headship, as to a mind or a spiritual Christ control, as this mind of Christ been in you, then you've got a devil. And this, of course, is what the woman represents. So then, when the Spirit gets that she's got her own mind to do her own thing, she thus has become a devil. And you are then married to a devil. So this is a bad situation. When she wants to dress like a man, the Bible says she should never wear anything that appertaineth unto a man, because this is an abomination in the sight of God. And today you see that a woman has done the very thing as a man. She wants to dress like a man. She wants to act like a man. She says, anything a man can do, I can do it better. She wants to do whatever she wants to do. Now they're putting her in the army. She wishes she was back home with her children, you know, as long as she can stay over here and frolic. As the flesh, it likes to frolic, you know. But now that it's got to be out on its own as to its own sovereignty, then there's tears and there's remorse. And she don't want to be a man, you know. But she wants to bob her hair off like a man. She wants to wear clothing like a man. She wants to snort and speak like a man. And some of them are terrible, you know, they're devils. And she becomes a devil. And the first news you know, she's snorting and cursing and she's sucking on a weed. And she's going to and fro and she's in a frolic. And she's as bold as a lion. She comes right up in your face when the Bible says that she should be shamefaced. And it says that the man should be grave. The man should be sober and be grave and not be a giggle all the time trying to show his teeth. Isn't that good old plain countrified talk? I was raised up in the country. Like John said, the axe is laid under the root of the tree, and every tree that don't bring forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Somebody say hallelujah. All right. So then somebody said, well, I perceive that you are against that woman. Well, you perceive wrong. Your perception is bad. You need to get discernment and stop surmising. As my wife used to say, they've got the gift of suspicion. But anyway, what I am against is the devil. The Bible said, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. The world was condemned already because of what had happened. But he sent his son into the world to save the world, that through him the world might be saved. But folks, this is a very fearful moment. This is a very sad moment. This is a very moving moment that we're living in, because the gospel is becoming extinct. The gospel is being done away with, and the gospel will soon be no more. And everything that people hear will only be some fundamental teachings of what it's supposed to be. You know, and they are fast changing the word of God, whereas the Bible said, and Satan, they as that day changed the truth into a lie, or the word of God, or that is as it was quoted to Jesus from Satan as to kill, to take it out of its original setting. Like, for instance, I read a little article in the paper where it said, and through these hard lines as to the main line of the colleagues of the college, these great men as to scholars are supposed to be the ones that decide what we think and what we follow and what we do. And the paper stated that now, through their little gathering, they have condemned 80% of the four gospels. And they say 80% of what was said in the four gospels of Mark, Luke, John, whatever, Matthew's, said now these are wrong. And in the book of John, they condemned everything, I think, except one passage of Scripture. And this is the only thing that's right. As a matter of fact, where the Bible said, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life, be saved. They've condemned it. They said that wasn't Jesus' talk at all. And on they go with this, see, until the Bible is being taken out. More and more it's been taken out as to the new versions of the Bible and the translated as to what is supposed to be the translation as to say, they do not say as to the conception of the virgin, as the Bible said, as to with child, as to bring forth the Son of God, but said, and it was just the woman. And they kill the prophetical utterance as to the authenticity of divine act, as to bring the faith child like unto Isaac. Well, as I said, getting back to our original thought here, because we're straying way out on a limb, back to the original thought here, then we find that the Lord said just one tabernacle because the law is fulfilled in Jesus. So the law is taken away and we're saved by grace. And they that have fallen from grace are under the law. Now, and so the prophets were also fulfilled in Jesus. For the Bible said the law and the prophets until John. Since that time the kingdom is here, and God hath at divers times, in divers manners at sundry times, he has spoken unto us by the prophets, having in this last day spoken unto us by his Son Jesus. So then we see that Jesus came, and it was said the prophet likened to Moses. Moses, who was faithful in all of his house, that whereas that was the beginning as to Alpha over here, is the prophet likened to, which is the Omega, that if you followed Moses in that day as the beginning, now you'll all have to head up into the prophet likened to Moses. And it shall come to pass that whosoever faileth to hear this prophet, I'll require it of him, or they shall perish. They shall be cut off. All right, seeing a whole lot of things and just kind of running and hurrying and saying, just trying to get a little bit over it to your mind. I hope you stand with me and can get a few of these things. The Bible says the wicked shall not see when good cometh, but you'll comprehend the heights, depth, width, and the length. As to the understanding of these great, wonderful things, and you will know, for the eyes of your understanding shall be enlightened, and you'll know these wonderful things when this comes, because the sheep know the voice. God's sheep know his voice. They know that it's truth. There's something about it that when they hear the voice of God, they don't have to reason. They don't try to figure it out. They don't try to understand it. They just know. Somehow they know that that's the truth. And you couldn't change them. There's no way it could change. They just know that that's the truth. And others wrestle with it and they say, I'm confused. I don't understand it. That's because they're blind. They'll not see when good comes. Those are the eyes of understanding. It's blinded. When God, the God of this world, even Lucifer, comes, then when he comes, they're blinded as to Lucifer. He blinds their eyes of understanding. Then when truth comes, they can't understand it. They can't comprehend it. It shines in the darkness, and they comprehended it not. All right, so we see that when we say God, we're talking about Jesus as one, the object of worship. Jesus as one, the object of worship. We can see that he is the object of worship. Jesus says, one, the object of worship. But before the beginning, and that Genesis means beginning. And I say again, to bring it back to your mind, Peter said, though you know these things, I feel that I should stir up your pure mind, even Christ's mind, within you are these things to your remembrance. When you say beginning, that is the beginning of man. That is the beginning of the world. That is the beginning of you and me as a natural person, but not the beginning of God. God was in the beginning. God was already there. And the beginning emanated from God. And all things as are tangible, all things that we look and see around us, that we can see, that we can hear, that we can feel, that we can comprehend, the tangible forms of matter as defined by scientists, or as to these images and objects, these formations as to boundaries and limitations, means and measures of life, are for us and for our stability of mind. But with God, he needs no stability of mind. He doesn't need an image. He's only made an image to make himself manifest as to a creation, which is an image and made And for this creation, all things I've given you as pertain unto life for the individual. And I'm going to fellowship you, and you're going to be my children, and I'm going to make you eternal as one with me, and through one Godhead, as the head of the family, Jesus Christ, even God, I'm going to fellowship you, and you're going to be my children as to the God family, because you're going to eat from the tree of life, and this is the tree of life as to the family tree of the God family. And all of you that eat of the tree of knowledge, you're going to be the children of the devil, because that tree of knowledge is the tree, the family tree, as to the devil and his people. All right, so then we see where we're going. The carnal mind is enmity with God. So we see the difference. We see the difference as why that man was cut off from God. If he had eaten of the tree of life as to his own sovereignty, he would have never come into these things. But having eaten of the tree of knowledge, thus becoming a sovereignty divided from God, he had to make it on his own. And this grieved God so bad, the Bible said that God looked down from heaven and saw the earth was corrupt. Men, all men on earth had corrupted themselves before God. All flesh having corrupted themselves before God, said that it grieved God in his heart because he'd made man. And he just said, man whom I've made, I'll destroy him from off the face of the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And because of that, today we have a generation. All right, we could just go on and go on and go on. But I've said this before to you, that eight was saved. And then in the next deluge, as to when things begin to pass away, it narrowed down as to Sodom and Gomorrah, and four were saved. And then as to the next crossing, as coming out of the wilderness into Canaan, as to Joshua and Caleb, it was cut in half the second time, and two were saved. And then when it came to Calvary, as the next crossing, it was cut in half, and this time one was saved. So the Bible said, not as unto seeds of many, but as the seeds of one, and in Isaac shall the seed be called, and that Jesus Christ himself alone is made heir to the glory of God, and that he, being heir to the glory, is your hope of that glory. For God's life, as to eternal life, is in the Son, and he that hath the Son hath this life within him. And he that hath not the Son, as to this blood, hath not the life as to Christ within you, the hope of that glory that he appeared in on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah. All right, so we see one tabernacle, one God sitting on the throne, Moses and Elijah sitting on the right hand and the left, and 24 elders sitting around in front of him. And we could go on and go on saying things about this. But I just want to conclude in saying a few little things, because all I've done to you tonight is talk with you and exhort you. And I really hadn't even hollered at you tonight. In that we see these wonderful things taking place, we know then who is our God. So we worship God the great Father. Paul said, and I give glory to my heavenly Father and to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the human part of God, or the human person of God, or the human expression of God, the express or the given or the very likeness of God himself. In that Adam was made in the image of God, and man lost this image as to an image of the beast, as to the bastard child, and that which was perverted there through the fall, and Jesus came to restore it back to the original image as to Adam the second time. And this image not as to illumination, as to the glory of that spiritual illumination, but as to inbred, as to being born of it, because the world out here is under the expression of it, as to the glory expression, as the blood on the seat of atonement, until the church finishes its development, and then when it goes out, the light goes out, the day star draws back, the sun is gone. Lucifer is no longer in heaven because he cannot dwell in a human body anymore. As to the grace, as to being in heaven over in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation where John saw him. And then the expulsion, says to say, putting him out of the garden. So then we know that we are the image of God, but we are born to the spiritual Shekinah and waiting for the change of this image as from the bastard child as to our first birth into that Thessalonian change, which is almost at hand right now, which comes about near the first of Daniel's last week. So we see everything coming to pass. Even this war has to do with it. And everything is seemingly being expedited in the day that we're living in by the knowledge of God so speedily being revealed. All right, if this is so, then when we say in the beginning, In the beginning, Jesus was with God before the world ever was. Father, restore unto me the joys I had with thee before the world ever was. Having been before the world ever was, when God created man, it was said, as to the Son, come, let us make man in the only image of God, in our own image. And in the image of God made he male and female, in that he made female within male, and it was just one. As these three are one, as two, man, woman, and children, as it is God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All of these is from the life that has been bestowed upon mankind from the loins of the man. All of these are his. And so then we see that in that image they were made, and because of the fall, there was a dissecting, there was a separation, there was a trinity as man, woman, and child, and the woman being taken out of the man. Then came the middle wall of partition. And so then God, in restoring this, has reached down and got the body, the man and the woman one, the great mystery concerning the church. Now he has put the woman as to the church back into the man, which is Christ Jesus, as members in particular. And no more are they divided, and all the children are of one as to the children of God in the one beautiful family of God. And he's changed it back from the Trinitarian fall as to that, as to a dissecting at Calvary. He has stitched up the wound. He has performed the operation. He's took out the defective part. Has to say the woman coming out of the man, but the mixture of evil, taking it away from her, purging her, and putting her back as to that part inside, as to say the rent veil, as to the separation of the body and the spirit, Christ and the Lord, and to rend the veil, to take out that defective part, in that we got one part as to the rent, another part as to the rent, the interior as the intestinal parts, and then to cut out that which is a parasite or the defective part, bring the healing, sew it back up, and then all of them are wanting from Calvary all the way over. As to the transfiguration, thus it is. It would take about a month to break down a few of these things, as to talk about what we'd like to talk about, as to bringing this back into the beautiful oneness of God, as to saying when the vision went away, they saw neither Moses nor Elijah, but the Bible said they saw Jesus only. It was only Jesus standing there. There was no one else but Jesus. I am Alpha, I am Omega. I am the beginning and the end. And in the beginning, or we say before there was a beginning, or before the beginning, God. As to say, when we say God, that is the beginning. Because that's a human application of a human concept of God, since we have no other means of expressing God except by human vocabulary utterance or measuring God is to comprehend. The Bible said, then the measurements of man in the earth, God has made it the same as the measurement of the angels in heaven. So whatever our means and measurements of stability of mind is to comprehend, these things is the depth, height, width, length, then that means it is the same as that in heaven. And folks, I'd really love to talk to you tonight, just exhorting you just a little bit. I'd really love to talk with you about the wonderful things of God, because as I was saying today, the revival is over. It's only a gleaning. The gospel in all the world for a witness, then shall the end come by TV, satellite, radio, publications, testimony, evangelistic crusades. But now there's one move that's to go forth in the earth. And this move is as it was the gleaner as to Ruth, that became the wife of the great rich man Boaz, the one that was willing to glean, as to say, gathering together in the great revivals, as Jesus said, fishes of men, throwing out the net and the great multitudes coming, as to when you pull the net, it's full. But when you get it to shore, you must sit down and throw back and throw back. You know, you may catch, we say, 100 species as to that of the ocean. When you get through throwing back, you may have 1/3 of that, because you've caught all kind of creatures that's not edible, and you can't have those things, and some of them are terrible. Like the vision I one time had, and I was fishing Others was fishing. Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. I caught something, and it was a great big old out-of-proportion fish. It wasn't pretty at all. It looked like a great big old grouper of some kind. And I had mine hanging up. And then I looked over here, and there was some of the most beautiful fish that different fishes had caught. And then I looked, and over here somebody had caught a mermaid. It was half fish and half woman. That's about the way some evangelists are. You know, they're about half fishing for a woman. And here they are, you know, and they're all hanging up. And as the inspector come by, I just almost ready to tuck my head down. I thought, well, this big old, you know, out of shape sort of a thing, he probably won't even look at it. And he come by, and I thought, now, you know, he'll probably really give the tag to that man that caught the mermaid. But all of a sudden, I looked at that mermaid, and instead of a woman, as what you'd call a young, beautiful woman, she turned into like a hideous witch. And I've said this a lot of times, you know, you marry her as a pretty young girl, but one day when you look at her, it's altogether different. But anyway, here he come around inspecting. Finally, he got around, and he got around to mine, and lo and behold, he condemned these others, and my fish won the prize. Let's give the Lord a... You're talking about a happy boy, but I was a happy boy. Because I thought mine just wouldn't even be looked at. But nevertheless, the Lord took a liking to it. I say the Lord took a liking to it. I'm trusting that that's what it was all about. That's what I understood. But anyway, the inspector took a liking to it, and it worked out real good for me. So Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And of course, that's what we're trying to do. Follow me, and I will make you. Follow me, and I will make you. I want to follow Christ so he can make me. That's what we need to do, is follow the Lord, and he will make us. I want you to stand with me. We could go on. There's just so many things to say, but I just felt like going down this trail tonight of just a little explanation as to some of these things, because I am approached so many multiplied times as to say, Brother Pike, what is this? Or how does this work? Or why do you say the things that you say as to what you are saying? Well, it's good to come together. The Bible said, come and let us reason together. And it's good to come together, to be able to reason one with another. And, of course, to reason with God. And the Bible said, they shall all be taught of God, for it shall not be. That is to the individual speaking, but God speaking from within his temple, to let all the world keep silence. For let every man be a liar, and God be true. He that God sendeth will speak God's word. And as I said, there's something about the word that is so clear that the elect, when they hear this, they just know it. They just know it. They just know it. And they'll defend it. For the Bible said, wisdom is justified of her children. And wherever you find the children of understanding, they will defend truth and understanding. So wisdom is always justified by the voice of the children. Let's sing a little chorus together. We appreciate so much you coming out to be with us. Glad for the new families that's coming in. I was telling Bob the other night that we appreciate so much. His wife, Betty, was telling us that she really enjoyed talking with Bob's wife, and appreciate so much them bringing the supper over like they did. It was really good. We enjoyed it. Others enjoyed it. And I thought it was just outstanding. We've got people that are always bringing us something, some little something. I don't love gifts. I don't take personal offerings, and I've not done that in my ministry, because the Lord said the priests love gifts pervert judgment. So because of that, I don't mess with money. I just let that go. I just don't mess with it at all. And I don't love gifts, but there's numbers of people. They bring gifts to the house. They bring food. They bring all kinds of things, And it's so wonderful that they're considerate of us, and our system is set up as to giving, that if you give as to monetary values or whatever of anything that can be used for God, then it goes to God. And even when you bring things down to the house, a lot of times Betty will divide the meal. She'll take part of it and send it off, or she'll take different things and send it out. And of course, you can't give out give God. You can't do that. A man one time said, you know, my shovel is so little and his is so big. You know, his is like a steam shovel. And you shovel out a little bit and he shovels in by the tons. I've never been able to build enough buildings to keep the stuff that God gives. I've never been able to keep all the money that God has given me. I have to put it in something, invest it in something, give it to somebody or whatever, has to do something for God one way or another with it. Because there's just absolutely no end to God and His giving. And I beg Him so often, I say, Lord, you know, if you're going to give me something natural, give it to the children of the people, because I don't know of anything I need. I said, if you will, just endow me with the heavenly treasure from on high and fill my vessel. The Bible said we have this heavenly treasure within earthen vessels. And sure enough, this wonderful word that spoke the world into existence, that created the diamonds, the jewels, the gold, the silver, whatever. God puts it in my heart. And my cup runs over, as David said. All right, let's sing together. I love Him. Can you sing with me? I love Him. All because that You first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing it one more time with me now. I love Him. Let's sing this song together. Can we? Give me a key, friend. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I want. Was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. Can you sing that with me? It was grace that tore my heart to fear. And it was grace, my fears relieved. For how precious did that grace appear. It was the hour that I first believed. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. Oh, when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. In the angels come, I'll wear a crown. I'll wear a crown. Let's sing this little chorus.
Jesus gave us some water, and it was not from the well. Jesus gave us some water, and she went down. gathers to the water that
wasn't from the well.
Jesus gave us some water, and it wasn't from the well. Jesus gave us some water, and she went close to hell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't
from the well.
Jesus gave us water, and it wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave us some water,
and she went close to hell.
Went away singing,
and she came back bringing
others to the water. Can you sing it again with me? Jesus gave her water that wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave some water, and she went close to tell. Went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't.
One more time together.
And it was not from the well. Jesus gave us some water, and she went close to hell. Went away singing, and she came by bringing others to the water that was not.
All right, let's sing this little chorus together, can we?
Gone, the stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb is empty. Gone, to sit on my Father's side. Oh, he's gone, all the dance triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone, he lives forevermore.
Sing that with me.
For it's gone, and the stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb is empty. Sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, over death's triumph. Gone, sin is. For it's gone, I saw the stone is rolled back. Gone, I saw the tomb is empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. For it's gone, death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone, and he lives forever.
One more time.
Oh, it's gone. I saw the stone roll back. Gone. I saw the tomb is empty.
Some of you have been there, and you know for sure that the stone is rolled back, and you know for sure that the tomb is empty. You've seen it.
Death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, is forevermore.
You know what? If you only knew tonight what we were saying, if you only knew. My brother was telling me over in the evening just before we arrived home tonight, coming over from the field, that some things that were said on the trip that he had never seen in all of his life. Never realized so great and mightily the way that he did at this moment of what we was trying to express as to the negligence of people and as of that which they have failed to receive, which is freely given to them in Christ Jesus. Oh, but if you could but know that with all of our learning, all of our understanding, with all of our efforts, we're still but little tiny babes. Okay, let's sing another chorus or two, and we're going to let you go. Mm-hmm. When I stand upon the mountain, looking o'er into the city, neath faith that I can make it after all. Can you sing that with me? Far after all, life is over, and my burdens have been lifted, and the stand upon the mountain, oh, so, oh, looking over into the city, my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it. One more time together, can we? For after all, life is over, and my burdens have been lifted, and we stand upon the mountain, also, oh, looking over into the city, my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Can you sing this little chorus with us? Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. Sing that again. Far across the bridge, there's no sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. In this life we're living in, I have lived a life of sin. I've done forbidden things I shouldn't do. I met my Savior on the way. I asked him for a place to stay, where there's real happiness and love that's true. Set across the bridge, there's no sorrow. And across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be. Can you sing that just one more time? Set across the bridge, there's no sorrow. Cross the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. end. I read in the Bible where God so loved sinners, gave His Son to die in their place. And He gave His life on the cruel cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace. Thank God, there's a bridge or a river. Someday I shall see it. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace. I read where He said, let not your heart be troubled. Go to prepare you a place. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, pure walls of jasper. Thank the Lord for His marvelous. Sing that with me now.
Thank God,
there's a bridge over the river. Someday I shall see her sweet face. With Him, my world forever. Thank the Lord. Can you one more time?
Thank God,
there's a bridge. Oh, can you give Him a wave offering? Day I shall see His sweet face. With Him, my world there forever. Thank the Lord for His marvelous My soul cries out, oh Lord, how long? Sing out of me. Till my toiling ends, and You call me home. Since I caught a glimpse of my home in the sky, nothing in this world keep me satisfied. Is that the light of home I see? I feel a breeze from the crystal sea, with the Lord standing high, oh heaven's bowed beneath. It's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. Sing that with me now. Seems I can hear holy angels sing with hearts of gold. Earth holds no charm when I hear their song. Sweet Beulah, my home, sweet home. Is that the light of home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea, with the Lord high, heaven's bowed beneath. It's the lights of home. Sing that one more time, give Him another wave off. Is that the lights so home I see? I feel a breeze from the crystal sea, with the Lord standing high, of heaven's balcony. It's the
life God's own, a welcome sight to me. The holy hills of heaven call me to mansions bright across the sea, where loved ones wait and crowns are given, and the hills of home keep calling.
Can you sing that way?
This flesh is but a prison and bars of bone. They hold my soul, but the doors of clay gonna burst wide open when the angels come. Set my spirit free.
Sing this with me now.
Is that the light of home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? High heaven's balcony, it's the lights of home.
Sing it again.
Is that the light whom I see? Do I feel the breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord's stained eye on heaven's balcony, it's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me.
You love the Lord? You didn't know those two songs would go together, did you? Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. All right. So God is so good to us. He's so wonderful.
And I will praise Him. My heart will praise Him. Praise that Lamb, oh sinners slain. Let us
once again,
and we will praise Him. We
it's so beautiful while you sing that song. These little bitty ones are standing with their hands lifted up, little old bitty fellas, and they're lifting their hands up to praise the Lord. While we're singing this, I'm going to ask our brother Howard from California to come up and dismiss us tonight and pray the closing prayer, if he will. Brother Howard.
People, far of the blood has washed away.
Stay one more time as you come.
Ah.